بسم الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Reading from the Book of Knowledge from the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. The hadith that we're doing, or the chapter that we're doing, is the encouragement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the loft of Abd al-Qais, and these were individuals that came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is going to be mentioned in the hadith that they deserve Iman and knowledge, and that they tell those who they left back, meaning those when they return back to the city or to the village, they will return, take this knowledge back. So this is the chapter. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he begins with a statement from one of the companions, who is Malik ibn al-Hawarith. Malik ibn al-Hawarith radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was actually one of the young companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came and they lived on the outskirts, or they lived in a village outside of Al-Madinah. And these young companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wanted to learn from the Prophet, so they, a group of them, set out to Al-Madinah to benefit from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned, same individual, Malik ibn al-Hawarith, he mentioned that we stayed with the Prophet for about 20 days. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they stayed with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning and benefiting, memorizing and seeking knowledge. Then he said after 20 days, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that we missed our families, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to return, and he told us to teach those individuals. So this Sahabi, Malik ibn al-Hawarith, is the qissa, or the story behind him, and that was that which I just mentioned, which is also the benefits of traveling to seek knowledge. He said, قَالَ لَنَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ اِجْدِئُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِيكُمْ فَعَلِّمُوهُمْ. The Prophet said to us, go back to your family and teach them. So this is one of the benefits, is that an individual, and that's what we understand, is that an individual, when he learns, he learns to remove ignorance from himself, to remove ignorance from others. And that is taken from the hadith, anyway. That statement from Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, that knowledge is to, the intention should be to remove ignorance from yourself and others. That's not taken from Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, did not make that up himself, but he took that from the likes of this statement. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go back to your family and teach them. Go back and teach them. The first hadith, the hadith of Muhammad bin Bashar, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned the isnad Muhammad bin Bashar, and on the authority of Wundar, and his name is Muhammad bin Ja'far, on the authority of Shu'bah bin Hajjaj, on the authority of Abi Hamza, where he said, Abu Hamza, who's Nasr bin Amran, he said, I used to translate for Ibn Abbas. And this shows you that translation is something of old. That translation is something of old, that you would have an individual translating. You would have an individual translating between the Sahaba and Arabic. And likewise, you also have the Prophet that you translated, and that was, if I'm not, either Zayd bin Harith or Zayd bin Thabit, one of them was a translator for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there was some individuals that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to call to Islam, and they did not know Arabic, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his companions, to memorize, to learn within a few days. Now, so this individual mentioned that he used to translate between Ibn Abbas and the people, and this left, or these individuals by the name of Abd al-Qais, this is the name of the group, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet ﷺ said, who are the people? And they said, we are the people from Yaha. And the Prophet ﷺ greeted them. The Prophet ﷺ greeted the individuals with that which he, and I'm going to summarize the hadith, he greeted his people with that which he greeted them with. And he mentioned that you would not regret, and nor would you be harmed. And then these individuals mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we come to you from a far area. Also shows you that they're seeking knowledge. Also shows you that they're traveling to seek knowledge. And it shows you this hadith can be applied to this chapter, and it can also be applied to previous chapters of traveling to seek knowledge. And between us and you is the kuffar of Mudar. This group of kuffar, this tribe, this tree. And we cannot to come to you except in the Fishahr al-Haram, in the you know, like the holy, or like the forbidden months, yani the months that even the kuffar have respect for certain months. These are considered like months that no one can fight in, that no one can fight in, and they respect that. This was something from Jahiliyyah. This was something from Jahiliyyah, and Islam supported it. So these individuals, they said, we can only come to you in these months because of this tribe, this disbelieving tribe. We tried to come out of this. It's dangerous upon us. It might try to fight us.
Assalamu alaikum.
نعم
أخي يرون بسم الله.
Then, for one, that which many callers are saying, not only are they saying it, but they're calling to it, and they're propagating it, is the character and issues of silk and the likes of that. Nobody, that's part of Islam, but the foundation is Tawheed. The foundation is Tawheed. Here you have individuals that are coming to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they're believers. It's clear that they're believers. And we've mentioned the several proofs to show that they're believers. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first is starting with Iman. Let's talk about the affair, Iman. To believe that Allah believes in angels, the affair of Aqidah. But there's no doubt that this shows you, even if you are in a community of believers, the most important affair is that you teach them about Iman. And we mentioned in last week's lesson in Surah Al-Rahman, why? You know, why? Because of the, you know, and there's no doubt that this corrects the affairs and the likes of that. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do you know what is Iman? And they said, Allah as much as it knows best. And we know, we've mentioned previously that the Sahaba, and these aren't Sahaba because they, as long as they met the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they believed in them, they're Sahaba. The Sahaba, they used to say, Allah has nothing to know, and sometimes they knew the answer, but they would say this out of respect for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu began by saying, the Shahada, an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and the Shahada, bearing witness that there's no deity worthy of worship except the one, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is his slave and messenger, and establishing the prayer and giving the zakat and fasting the month of Ramadan, and to give by itself, it comprises Iman and Islam, and this is an example of that. This is an example of that. Because notice that Iman in this hadith is being mentioned with belief in Allah and then actions. Belief in Allah is messenger and then actions. And then actions such as Salat and such as Zakat and such as fasting of Ramadan. But in the hadith of Jibreel, the one-on hadith of Jibreel, Islam is mentioned first as actions, and then Iman is mentioned as belief, which is to believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, His messengers, His book, the final day, divine decree, which is belief. So when they're mentioned, when both of them are mentioned, Islam are the is the action, and Iman is the belief. But when one of them is mentioned and the other is not mentioned, they are both comprised the same factors. They both comprise the same factors. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbid them of four things, and these were the things that were, these were the things that if you put liquid inside of them, these were different vessels, that if they were known that if you put liquid inside of them or whatever you would put inside of them, it would fermentate very quickly, and whatever was inside would turn into alcohol. Whatever was inside would turn into alcohol. So this is the first hadith that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in the chapter. And like we said, he started with a statement of a Sahabi. He started with a statement of the Sahabi, and to the best of my knowledge, maybe that's not present in the English, because a lot of times I'm only translating the hadith. They didn't translate the hadith with the Islam. The Prophet Islam translated the hadith with the Islam. They didn't translate the statements of the Sahaba. If it doesn't have an Islam, then there's no doubt that because of that, the book should be translated again, or they should work on it and edit it to put that there. There's one fact, one of the individuals in the narration, or in the chain of narration, Muhammad bin Bashar, in terms of knowledge, it was mentioned that he said, Aradtu al-Khuruja. And this is the Khalabi, Muhammad bin Bashar, he said, and in Muhammad bin Bashar, something that I found in his talk of seeking knowledge, he said, I wanted to go out and seek knowledge of hadith. But he sought his permission. And she forbid him. Or she forbade him. And he said, I obeyed him. She said, I understand. There's no doubt in his city it was gone. But he had benefited from them and he wanted to go abroad to get knowledge from other scholars in other places, but his mother forbade him. So So he said, I obeyed my mother, and Allah blessed me because of me obeying my mother. Allah blessed me, and he became his house. He became my home. In one of his house. He said, I was with him for more than 20 years. I sat with him for more than 20 years to show you the diligence he had. The next thing is the traveling to seek knowledge because of one issue. Because of one issue. And he says in most of the prints of Sahih Bukhari, it says, and a person teaching his family. But I think the scholars of Hadith said that part wasn't from Imam Muhammad. Teaching is for one, it's not in the Hadith that's going to come in this chapter, and two, it's in a chapter that's going to come later on. It's in a chapter that's going to come later on. So many of the scholars of Hadith, they said that this part, a person teaching his family, is not placed there by Imam al-Bukhari. In this Hadith, or in this chapter, Imam al-Bukhari begins to
the Sahabi accepted from one woman, and the Prophet accepted from the
technicality, you know, of accepting narration from one individual. Now, there's also another benefit. Some might say, what's the difference between this chapter and that chapter of traveling to seek knowledge? Traveling to seek knowledge, which was the previous chapter, was general. This chapter was traveling to seek knowledge, even if it's just one, for one issue. Even if it is just for one issue. And that was the companion did. He wanted to know one issue. But he traveled to the professor, and of course, those days it took several days. They're riding on camels, but he wants to know. SubhanAllah, I want to know, is it permissible or is it not permissible for me? And this is something very important. Unfortunately, people at the present day, you know, as possibly said, you're not supposed to marry a sister, or the manner in which you're trying to marry the sister is not correct. They say, you find brothers going to different masjids and looking for someone to marry. Find out, is it correct in a legislation for you to marry her? Is it the correct manner of marrying her? Maybe there's something from the legislation. Don't just the knowledge behind your backs. You know, this is something extremely important, and we find the example within the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as soon as he was told, obviously, he was bothered because he didn't know, but he immediately went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sought clarification. To the best of my knowledge, the brothers in the UAE, they informed me to summarize the lesson because they called me by phone. They didn't call me by way of internet. I don't have internet. My internet is down in the house that I'm in right now, so they asked me to call to summarize the lesson because they're doing it by phone, and indeed the costs are expensive. So I'm going to stop on that hadith, and inshallah, hopefully next week we continue with the next few hadiths. And I encourage the brothers, you know, they're a lot less than for their diligence, but I encourage the brothers to try to find a solution for their technical problem. You know, indeed, it is difficult if the lessons are not, consistent, and if there's technical problems and the likes of that. Along with the fact that the shaitan whispers and tells people, you know, knowledge takes too much time and sitting and the likes of that. So, with the whispers of the shaitan and with the technical problems and lack of consistency in the lesson, this is indeed something that will deter the people, and we don't want that to happen. So, we encourage the brothers to try their best to come up with a solution for the technical issues, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla give them the tawfiq.